comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. Of course, jitterymonkey.com, home of some of your favorite podcasts like My 123 Cents the Podcast, Positive Cynicism, and the Five Heart Podcast. Greg Mahochko here, joined by my co-host of the year, Mike Luther. Mike, it's a Tuesday night.
It's Tuesday and it's early, and I felt weird coming here because it was still light outside.
It's everybody, you know, a little peek behind the curtain. We typically record Friday nights, 8:30 or 9 is when we get started.
Sometimes 9:30, yeah.
And sometimes 9:30. We usually finish up around 11. So the early start tonight because I'm starting. I've got to say, I'm perturbed.
Okay. Good word.
Thank you. I'm proud of it. I started Nerds United in June of 2013 and did a show and then took a couple weeks off and did a show and took like 3 months off.
Right. I remember.
There was nothing consistent there about content and bringing content out. And about a year and a half after I started the show in November, December of 2014, I asked Kevin Hunsberger, who is a huge wrestling fan and had interest but didn't know how to get started in a podcast.
Right.
I said, you've got my123cents.com and you publish a new blog every day. Why not, you know, do something in the podcast world? I said, I've got the space for it. We'd love to have you. So he has been churning out content every Monday morning for, I'm pulling it up here so I'm accurate, it's 200, and as of this past Monday, 249 consecutive weeks.
That's a lot.
And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. And here I am. I've had the show, you know, 18 months longer than he has, and I'm on 144.
Well,
so I'm determined to catch up.
All right.
So we're
you could just don't produce his podcast anymore until you catch up.
or just change the number on mine.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
We're going to go from episode 145 to 250.
You can make this one 240 if you want. Who cares?
So last week we had a lot of fun talking with Brian from Twilight Comics, Swansea, Illinois. And, you know, my go-to local comic book shop. And that was a nice midweek. And nothing's going to change for you and me. We're always going to get together on the weekend and chat. But, you know, if I have an opportunity to have another show, another topic, another guest, and hopefully your schedule cooperates and you're able to join, great. Otherwise, I'll roll solo. But I saw a post on Facebook from our guest tonight, Jason White, who's a previous guest here on Nerds United. And we'll get to his post and how it initiated this topic. But first, I want to say, Jason, man, welcome back to the show. You have had just a busy summer, so thanks for taking time to visit with us here.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me again. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit. Last time you were here, we were in, I guess, maybe the final weeks of your Kickstarter campaign for Lost Owl Kingdom. And I know that was successfully funded on Kickstarter. So tell me a little bit about your emotions when you saw the results of the support from the online community for your original graphic novel.
This is the second book for me that I've run through Kickstarter with Anthony under Stash Publishing. So it was quite a joy to see that you got fully funded. Now we're in the process of, you know, doing the proofing and getting all the books out. That's the most nervous time. It's just making sure that everyone that has purchased the book and has shown support gets their copy and everything gets mailed out okay. So right now I'm just crossing my fingers. It's a little stressed.
Well, no worries pressure. You don't have to send mine out the first day. You can send mine out like day four. It's fine.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you for the leeway.
We got a lot of feedback from the last time that you were on the show. A lot of people really enjoyed the show, based on not on me, because I mean, if everybody, you know, enjoyed the show based on me, we'd have thousands of listeners. But they all they really said was, man, you're motivational, you're inspirational, you're positive and uplifting. And so for me, it was a no-brainer to have you on again. I mean, I wanted to have you on, you know, after we had our last conversation, just because of how I felt inside. And, you know, you motivated me. But, you know, those are some, like, hallmark characteristics for you know, people, especially in you know, the rather cynical internet, you know, realm to be, you know, pulling, you know, strangers on the internet saying that somebody's motivational, inspirational, positive, and uplifting. That's got to make you feel good.
It, well, we certainly need it nowadays. I mean, you get on the internet and you post something positive and you have some naysayer trying to debunk something that, you know, someone's doing good out in the world. It's just, it's the point where we're just at this culture now where we're all either victims or that, you know, everything's got to be wrong. And it's, there are still wonderful things going on in this world. So I'd rather put that up on Facebook or, you know, social media than sit there and constantly post all of the horrible things that go on in this world. We have a lot of, there are a lot of vile creatures walking around amongst us, but like there's still some good out there. And I'm not going to poison yours or my day, you know, with the, through social media. I mean, it's hard enough just living. So, yeah.
Well, I mean,
I've tried to be as positive as possible.
But I got to point this out because I showed Mike, you did post the or share the video of the guy doing the box jump with the 20-pound weights in each hand, and I looked at him because I couldn't remember the punchline. I couldn't remember the end of the video, but as the video was starting, I said, Mike, you could do that, right? Because he goes to the gym regularly, and then he watches the video and sees the guy fall on his face. He's like, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, very, very easily.
So let's talk a little bit about your summer, because it's been a busy one for you and an exciting one for you. And I want to talk specifically, you know, center around the time around San Diego Comic-Con, because old Jason White, you know, saw himself on the screen a little bit.
Yeah. I've been, you know, working on a couple of movies and TV shows over the past year. And I recall back to 2015 when I was at New York Comic Con. I was there selling books and you know, art and merchandise. And I was with a collective group under Art Wino, which is a gallery in the D.C. area. And I just remember being outside of you know, my favorite show in the whole world, The Walking Dead, their panel, and just how many people were lined up just to see these giant monitors. They weren't even in the room, and it was just to screen the trailer for season 6. And I was like, man, I want to make it in a trailer someday at a Comic-Con. And so, like, you know, if you think that you can do, like, you know, things will happen. But of course, you got to put in work to do that. And, you know, lo and behold, you know, San Diego Comic-Con, I'm in two trailers, you know, very small little snippets of time. However, like, it's, you know, things are you know, falling into place. So yeah, I got to be in, you know, Zombieland 2, as well as, you know, this season of The Walking Dead. So I'm, you know, extremely privileged and just honored to be part of two of my favorite series.
I don't want to – how do I put this? I feel like you have a type. A genre, you know, if you're being mated, if you're being mated with the screen, either big or small, there's the undead involved in some way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as a kid, I was terrified of horror movies. I mean, not until about the age of about 12, 13 years old. I remember, you know, going to my brother's friend's house and they put on Dawn of the Dead for the first time. And I was blown away, like fascinated with the fact that, you know, you have these people that have risen from the dead and are walking around and they're trying to eat other people. I have no idea why I was just enthralled with this movie. But I think it's more the fact that I think it has to do a little more with the aspect that you have folks that are trying to survive with what they have left. And I'm into a lot of these movies where it's, you know, about the apocalypse and just the people that are left. And just making do with what they have. you know, whether it's like two, you know, bullets for their gun or like that last like candy bar, you know, get them through the day. Yeah, since then I've just been a huge, huge zombie fan of, you know, of all the different, you know, genre of horror films.
That, and there's something I think that, that appeals to, you know, 2019 where, you know, everything is about, you know, like having the newest, the you know, the newest iPhone or, you know,
the latest greatest.
The latest greatest, you know, all the advances in technology. But, you know, when you're in survivalist mode like that in that zombie genre, you're really, you know, minimalist. You know, it's honestly for me, I don't even know if I think there's benefits to the gun, but I think I take a hatchet. You know, you're not going to run out of bullets.
So you're going to take a hatchet? You're going to put a hatchet to a group of zombies around you?
I mean, you start
Greg,
with...
You're getting eaten in a day. Sheesh, Greg.
I've played those Facebook games where it's how long would you survive in a zombie apocalypse. Zombie apocalypse. Yeah. And I think I lasted 10 days.
I don't see that happening, Greg.
Are they running
zombies or walking zombies?
That's true.
See, that's the thing. I think that naturally they are a slower moving bunch. Like, for example, that's why, I mean, in The Walking Dead, they're called the walkers. I've not seen any winning any 100-meter dashes.
There's the only, like, fast zombies are in 28 Days Later, I think it is.
And what was the one with Brad Pitt?
World War Z.
Yeah.
But those were also running and climbing zombies.
Yeah. If we're going to walking zombies... I'm good for a month at least because I can walk fast. I can avoid crowd. I go through Walmart pretty fast, you know.
And in Walmart, you really want to avoid
exactly,
the
and I do. I pretend everybody's a zombie in Walmart.
But I think one of the appeals to a show like The Walking Dead is, I mean, it's not simpler times because they're zombies,
right.
But you know, there's less distraction. I mean, aside from the zombies,
yeah.
and you know, like the governor trying to kill you,
right,
or
right.
Negan, you know, things like that. There's if you can find, you know, a good community, preferably with a strong fence,
yeah,
and farmland,
yeah,
you're okay.
Yeah.
I think, Jason. I mean, you weigh in. I feel like you're the expert. Weigh in here. Tell me I'm right or tell me I'm crazy. Either way, you won't be.
Oh,
right.
Are you? I'm not the expert. I mean, granted, I train in firearms and I've been doing martial arts for quite some time, good with the sword. However, I want to be around the least amount of people. People are the biggest problem with a situation like a zombie apocalypse. You have everyone wants to have, you know, has an opinion on what needs to be done in the community. Someone wants to be the leader. That's why I was a huge fan of Negan, because Negan kind of like took the reins over a bunch of people that were weak and did not know how to control a situation. And so I'd either rather, you know, have that kind of trait or be around the least amount of people, maybe like a group of three or five at the most. Now, of course, you need to be around people. It is just a natural, it's a natural human trait for us wanting to be around other people. Otherwise, you know, what are you there for? But a large community, I want to be far away from it as possible. It's a huge target because I guarantee you a majority of the people are going to be weak and not being able to defend that community. And so like, it's either that or everyone gets trained to be, you know, like a badass. You know, no slackers.
Yeah, absolutely. That actually makes a lot of sense.
I cannot disagree. Although I don't think, you know... Jason, you just said a group of, you know, three or to five. I don't think me and my wife and my son and dog would fare too well.
No. I didn't even think about that. I was thinking me, you, and Jason. Because Jason said he knows martial arts, so he defends us, and then we just sit here and do a podcast. You know, that's our role.
Well, so I read this article a few years back, you know, conjuring up my nerdiness. It was an article that was written by a scientist, and he was just more having fun with it than anything. But he was it was basically a discussion about how unlikely a zombie apocalypse would go the way it does in like these movies and TV shows where you have newspapers spread all over the ground and there's like no one around. The reason why he thinks that it would never happen, and I wholeheartedly agree with them, is that we are too good at killing. And when I say that, I'm not talking about a soldier or like a police officer who's may have never fired his gun, is that from the age, by the time we are the age of 2 or 3 and we're walking around, we're already picking up objects and weapons and using them because we understand. It's like just part of our human nature. So like someone coming upon us, you know, or a family member, we're going to immediately know how to take them out of the equation, especially if the most they can do is grunt and try to bite.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So like anybody, I'm not saying I'm a killer. I'm definitely not saying, you know, you all are killers, but we are just as human beings way too efficient at killing. A 5-year-old could kill, and knowing how things are going these days with, you know, mass shootings and stuff, obviously teenagers and above know how to kill. So, you know, very easily, you know, they pick up a gun and they can take out 3 or 4 people there, you know, or 20, 30 people. They can do the same thing with a bunch of zombies.
I can't disagree because, you know, my 3-year-old, he has been known to like come at me with his wiffle ball bat. Mm-hmm. You're right, Jason. He learned that at an early age. I'm pretty sure he learned it from his mom.
Yeah.
I was even thinking with that, like if you told like hunters, if you said, look, there's a no kill limit, like just take out as many zombies as you can, the zombies would be gone in like a week. They're just like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I live in Northern Virginia. We are close to Washington, D.C. There's like at least 18 police forces there on top of our military. And then the fact that you have a whole bunch of contractors, this is a military state for the most part. There are a lot of people with guns and know how to use them very efficiently here. So, and it's not the only state, of course. Like down in Georgia, everyone's got a gun. A lot of people keep them in their cars.
Texas.
Texas, yeah.
So let's get to why we're here talking tonight. You know, this week, this episode, of course, will drop in the morning, Wednesday morning. But on Sunday, as I'm perusing Facebook and scrolling, I come across a post, and Jason shared it, and then he commented his answer. But it was, you know, essentially what it might have been comic book villain. It might not have even been that, you know, that specific. But it said, what villain do you agree with? And Jason had a really good answer that I disagree with, but I see the logic. So since you are our guest, Jason, I'm going to let you start with giving your answer, and then we'll just kind of go around the horn and open it up to discussion. So what, based on your answer, at least from Sunday, what villain do you at least agree with their, I guess, perhaps logic, if, you know, if not maybe their methodology? I don't know how broad or specific this question needs to be, but let's just go, what villain do you agree with?
I got a short answer. I agree with Thanos a little bit. I mean, I don't condone sitting there snapping your fingers and taking out, you know, half the population. However, like during Endgame, you know, he has this discussion. Hopefully I'm not ruining it for anyone that hasn't seen it. If you haven't seen it, then shame on you.
If you haven't seen Endgame, you're like my parents who don't go to the movies, and that means that there's like 5 of you in the world who haven't seen Endgame. If they haven't, we spoiled the heck out of it, you know, a week after Endgame came out. So, spoil away. Discuss. Continue.
Well, I mean, I've only seen the movie once, but I just remember, you know, he's given this whole discussion with the, you know, the Avengers as they have him surrounded, and you know about. You know, kind of his methodology of why he, you know, eliminated the population. And of course, it was more of a joking. It was more of me joking than anything. Just with, you know, just all the, you know, the folks out there that sit there and help pollute the ocean. The fact that, you know, you have people that are systematically burning down the Amazon rainforest. There are a lot of folks that just like, if you snap his fingers, it'd be great to get rid of some of them. And I was more joking than anything. Bill Burr had it in one of his skits where he's, you know, talking about eliminating a bunch of, you know, just mouth breathers, you know, a bunch of the population that just just take up space for the most part.
I can see Bill Burr. Where,
of course, you sound like a psychopath when you you sit there and try to reason with why you picked Thanos.
I mean, but you know, like Marvel Universe wide. I mean, when he snaps his finger again, his reasoning is. It's for the overall, I think, survival of the universe. I mean, he says, look, there's a finite amount of resources and materials and food and things like that. If you snap the fingers, if you wipe out half of the population, then, you know, everybody else gets to live a much, you know, fuller life, you know, much more content, things like that. But, you know, it's not, you can't just snap your fingers and eliminate the bad people. You know, you're going to have, you know, families that are torn apart. You're going to have, you know, it's not like, all right, well, we're going to, I don't even know how to, I can't even say like snap your fingers and, you know, all the prisoners, because you got, you know, people who are, you know, wrongfully convicted and things like that. There's no way to just, I don't know, snap your fingers and everybody with malice in their heart. You know, I don't know. There's no right selection. You know, it has to be at random. And then, you know, there's too many variables, I guess. Mike?
Haven't you ever been like at Walmart or Target and been like, man, if half these people were gone? Because I have several times.
Oh, wow.
Does that make me a bad person?
I shop at Target. I don't shop this Walmart that you speak of.
You shop at Target?
I do not shop at Walmart either.
You guys are much smarter than me.
I tell you what, we have a routine, sidebar. We have a routine when we go to Target. We stop at the little snack bar first. My son gets a slushie, and if he's if it's not time for food, but if he's hungry, he gets a pretzel.
Okay.
And then he's happy while we shop, and we're happy because he's not bouncing all over the place while we shop.
Do you also get a pretzel?
No, I steal some of his.
Okay, that's smart.
And we get a big enough slushie that he and I can share.
Yeah.
I ain't dumb.
Yeah, that's smart.
So going back to the discussion, right? Of course, it was more of a joking manner. It was more in context with a lot of the stuff that had been going on the last couple of weeks. Of course, I don't want to see families, separated from each other. Heck, I don't want to sit there and turn into dust myself. It was, and of course, you can't be, you know, selective of who you take out. It's just how he said it, how he worded it. It sort of made sense a little bit.
It is.
That's all I'm saying. It kind of made sense because we do overpopulate quite a bit. We do consume a lot of overconsumed resources. We sit there and pollute the crap out of our oceans. We are systematically destroying this planet. And like now, at the same time, if all of us were gone, God forbid, of course. Like it would heal itself probably, fairly quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
But of course, a lot of stuff gets debunked because, there are a lot of folks, including like our administration, don't believe in global warming. And I'm like, are you effing crazy? But, it's neither here nor there. These things are still happening, whether you want to debate about it on social media or not. So yeah.
And the most compelling villains are the ones who, truly believe that they're the heroes. And I think that Thanos is, in that category. My pick, I suppose, is also in that category. And that's Lex Luthor.
Okay.
Because he was the man of tomorrow. You know, he's got, he's like Bruce Wayne. You know, he's a billionaire, Playboy, philanthropist, yada, 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 or Tony Stark, I guess, but, to quote the Avengers movie. But he's doing all these things, and all of a sudden, a miracle boy, falls out of the sky and grows up to be the hero of the city, and Lex Luthor kind of, for Lex Luthor, as my pick as villain, it's definitely for selfish reasons, because he feels like the spotlight's not on him anymore. He was the one who was going to come in and, with his genius and with his, inventions that he could, fund at LexCorp and things like that. He figures that he would be the one to, save Metropolis, not, this you know, Alien from Krypton.
I think what you're saying is he was going to be first place, like he was primed for first place, right. And then all of a sudden now he's runner up.
Yeah, Golden Child.
Yeah.
To Silver Child.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know that's because and that I can't even really take credit for that. That's secondhand. I don't know, secondhand wisdom. I think Kevin Smith or you know somebody else talked about it on one of his podcasts. It really got me thinking. I'm like, yeah, he was primed to be, you know, the savior of the city.
Yeah.
And then Superman shows up, and now you know, like Lex is like, hey, wait a minute. How do we know that you know he's got the powers of a god or you know a god? I don't know,
right?
The god. But you know he can do all these things. All it's going to take is one bad day for him, and he could destroy this entire city. He could destroy this entire country if he wanted to. He could make the Earth go, you know, in reverse rotation and turn back time and make us all baby. I don't, you know, yeah, that's you know Superman one. But he felt indignant that everybody was putting their faith in Superman. When they didn't really know that much about Superman, except, oh, he saved a cat from a tree and, you know, kept the car from falling off a cliff. You know, just
right.
Things like that. But Lex is like, we don't know that much about him, but we're all putting our faith in him. You know me. I'm Metropolis, you know, born and bred, everything else. You know, my father started this company, if you want to, you know, use that backstory. I just think that as far as, you know, villains go, he's really compelling and... Again, maybe it's, you know, because, and Mike, you know this, I was fringe in high school,
right?
You know, and there were definitely the golden children, the golden boy, yeah. And you know, that group. But there's definitely a hint of jealousy in Lex Luthor. And so, you know, for that reason, and the questions that, you know, should have been asked about Superman from the beginning, I gotta go with Lex. Jason, do you have any opinion on Lex Luthor one way or another as a villain?
No, that makes complete sense. It's been a while since I've followed anything of the Superman series. I'm not a big Superman guy. Don't hate me, but I'm more of a Batman guy.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
From what you've said, that certainly makes sense. I mean, they've done it with the Avengers too. In the Avengers movies, they wanted to regulate the powers, especially after, you know, what happened in the Age of Ultron. I mean, I always thought about that too. I was like, man, they're sitting there trying to protect the city, but they're also destroying it at the same time. Incredible Hulk goes up a building and he's basically causing like millions of dollars of damage. And who knows how many people are injured when he's sitting there throwing someone else through another building. They don't cover any of that. So it's like, are you really saving the city or are you also destroying it? It's a little iffy right there.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere, like somebody calculated all of the damage and it was like billions of dollars. Billions with a B.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there have been, I think it was a DC property, I think short-lived on maybe NBC. That's called Damage Control,
right? Yeah,
and it was, you know, essentially, you know, they go in and, you know, superheroes come in and mess up a city, and Damage Control goes in and writes the check. You know,
yeah, well, they was it Damage Control that was also in Spider-Man Homecoming.
They mentioned, you know, yeah. Similar
it, yeah.
Similar concept there, but you know that one was, you know, Tony Stark was getting the funding for it, and that's how we got the Vulture as, right. as the villain, because yeah. He's like, we just bought all these trucks. What were we supposed to do? Sorry,
yeah,
you know that's you know, Mike, you when we were talking about this early on, you're like, I don't know, you were wavering, and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, I got it.
Yes, but also you just told me about it when I got here. About. Yeah,
well, I gave you like 10 minutes notice. How much time do you need? Yeah. We're talking.
I came here and he goes, hey, by the way, here's what we're going to talk about. Okay. So when I snapped my finger, I was actually thinking about a villain that you named already, but I'm going to talk about the villain I originally thought of.
Okay.
Which is probably my favorite villain in a way, and that is from Black Panther, Killmonger.
Yeah.
I...
Oh. Okay.
I can understand, because if you think about what happens to him, first of all, if I remember correctly, his dad is killed by Black Panther. Well, the Black Panther at the time.
Right.
And then they just abandoned him, right? Abandoned him completely. And then he finds out that, you know, everybody that lives in Wakanda has all this technology, all these resources that he could have used growing up, and instead they just said, no, we're going to be by ourselves, and that's it. And obviously he took it too far, but I still kind of, I understand where he was coming from. You know, it would be like if I grew up in a very poor neighborhood, but my dad was filthy rich. And if he just would have helped me out a little bit, I would have been okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, on a more nationwide scale.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm trying to like make it more personal, you know?
No, in fact, to the point where at the end of the movie, they acknowledge, you know what, we shouldn't have left you, or, you know,
yeah.
We shouldn't have. I think it was actually in the dream, the second dream sequence when they were bringing T'Challa back to life.
Yes.
And he's in there talking with his father. He's like, you should not have left him behind.
Yeah.
You know, you should have brought him home.
And his dad's whole thing was like, look, we can't let anybody know. We have to protect Wakanda. That's right. It. And, you know, Black Panther's whole thing was, no, you have to protect everybody.
Yeah.
Like, we have to open up and protect everybody, you know?
Which they ended up doing. And that's a good one, too, that for whatever reason, that one did not... That one... I didn't think about that one. Not for any, you know...
Right.
Any reasons, but, you know, I had Lex Luthor in mind and one or two. But Killmonger's a great example of you know, good... I don't know if it's like good ideology, but sound logic, poor methodology.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, just taking it too far.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, turned it up to 11, maybe should have kept the dial around 6 or 7.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jason, when we talk about villains, like, so I know, you know, a lot of times villains are, you know, when you talk about villain lists, the Joker is always on the list. And not to say that he's a bad, I mean, you know, bad villain. I mean, obviously, it's implied in the word villain. But because he's so chaotic, I find it hard to not necessarily relate to him. But I just there's nothing really for me to latch on to.
You can't really sympathize with him or empathize with him.
Right. Are there any villains that you can think of that? You're like, man, he's just too far out there. I can't get on board with that.
Well, let's talk about the Joker. So I'll refer to the Dark Knight, because I thought he was so out there and so chaotic and just a complete anarchist, and he said he just did things. I found that absolutely fascinating, because it's one of those things where like he's even harder to control as a villain. I mean, in general, you don't know the methodology of all of them anyway, and I think that's why it makes them kind of fascinating. Someone will sit there and try to justify their actions and have reason behind the things that they do, but I thought that's what made him such a fascinating character. He was more interesting than Batman himself, and that's why I've always liked the Batman series, because I always thought he's an interesting character, but the villains that he fights are extremely fascinating. Every last one of them. And they're, you know, how they're made, but, you know, how they became who they are as villains. I mean, the Joker would be a prime example of someone where it's like, I have no idea why you do the things you do. And even I don't think he knows either. So.
And you wonder, I know in, so we're getting a Joker movie coming out here in just a couple of months, which I guess now maybe they've backed off and said it's not, you know, necessarily the definitive Joker origin story.
It's just a story.
It's a Joker story. But, you know, in The Dark Knight, yeah. He gives a lot of reasons, you know, every time he asks, you know, how I got these scars. So there is something, there's something intriguing about him, but I've never looked at him and said, oh, you know what? That's a guy that I that I agree with, because he's so chaotic.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. You don't have to agree with him to make him a good villain.
Well, no, but that's the point of the question.
Right, I know, but different question.
I'm going to smack you.
You know? Good luck. No, because I, especially with the whole Scar, you know, how to get the scars thing, like, he tells two different stories, and the thing is, you don't know if he's lying for both the stories, telling the truth for one of them, or he doesn't know. Maybe he's just making stuff up, you know, just to see what happens.
And I don't, like I said, I understand why, you know, like, he's up there as far as, you know, pop culture villains with the likes of, like, Darth Vader and things like that.
Right.
But as far as, like, any villains that I agree with, he's not on that list.
No,
for
not
me.
At all. No.
And Jason, you were talking, you know, about just the resources and the Earth and how, you know, like, Thanos has a point. But it brought to mind another, you know, when you said polluting the oceans, it brought to mind another villain that, you know, was kind of right, and that's Ocean Master. You know, I mean, he when they start throwing the garbage back on onto the land, it's like, huh, I think maybe we pissed somebody off.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's not at the top of my list, but, you know, if this were a top five, we let a couple of other guys handle those top five lists. But if this was a top five, I think, you know, Ocean Master would be on that list. If you're like, he's got a point. Again, methodology maybe needs a little tweak, but you're right. We're kind of infamous, the human race, as far as, you know, like, trashing this planet that we're supposed to, you know, be stewards of and take good care of. So, Prince Orn or Ocean Master had a point.
Yeah.
And, the other one. Yeah, I mean, like, essentially, some of us are, of course, I'm not referring to all humans, but there are quite a few villains out there, you know, that are the folks that are, you know, polluting the ocean, you know, being more wasteful than they have to. Like, and I gotta say, all of us are guilty of it, but some of us way more than others.
Greg,
you know,
Mike,
it's like you need to sit there and toss your trash, and, you know, while you're at the beach, instead of putting it into, like, a receptacle, see it all the time. I mean, gosh, go to, like, you know, some of the beaches up in, you know, Maryland and Virginia area. It's pretty mind blowing when you go there and you're seeing cigarette butts, you know, in the sand, and it hurts a little bit.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Mike, you were going to say something like you had a, I don't know, an honorable mention villain.
Well, we kind of mentioned him already, but I'll just talk a little bit more about him, which is the Vulture, because I understand part of it, because, like I said, you know, Spider-Man Homecoming, his team was supposed to get all the alien
tech, or, you know, they're supposed to pick up all the debris.
Yeah, pick up all the debris, and then, you know, Tony Stark just comes in, or his company just comes in and says, nope, it's ours now. And, you know, that was, you know, he's trying to make money for his family and for his co-workers' families and everything, you know. So I can understand why he would be upset, at Tony Stark, because, you know, Tony Stark is the face of this. Only problem I have with it is he turned villain just, like, right away.
Tony Stark had a bad habit in the Marvel Cinematic Universe of everything he touched turned to villain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
The Vulture, Mysterio.
Yes.
Obadiah Stane.
Yeah.
You look at all three Iron Man movies. He wasn't particularly helpful, so to speak, in Avengers.
Wouldn't it be great if the next, like, five Marvel movies, there's no villain because, like, Tony Stark hasn't pissed anybody off? They're just like, no, this is just us. We're just, you know, walking around at the office.
They're super cool. But it would be very boring.
It would be very boring, yes.
You've got the Avengers, like in the Avengers version of the X-Men Danger Room, just going over simulations.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Tony's gone. We got nobody to fight. Nobody. So that's really about all I had. Go ahead, Mike. You look like you were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say same. Then I took a drink instead.
Okay, fine. Jason, we appreciate you coming on. We're you know, keeping you. We're right around that time limit that we told you we'd keep you in. We appreciate you joining us again, and always a great conversation. Look forward to having you again, man. And we know you're busy. You did tell us before we started recording that you, as busy as you are, you at least get to work from home for the next couple of days, and that sounds nice.
Oh yeah, it's fun, and thanks for having me this evening. And, you know, I appreciate all the listeners out there allowing me to be the villain for the evening.
No, definitely not the villain. And by the way, I want to say, you know, since our last conversation, I didn't get to it as early as I wanted to, but last week I was off for a few days and I sat down in front of the laptop and I started writing some more for my own comic book that I'm, you know, hoping to see, you know, the light of day sometime. So that's a little Jason White influence and inspiration there. So I got to thank you for that, sir. And
You're absolutely welcome. That's music to my ears, you know, knowing that you've taken steps. It's all about just moving forward.
We've got a regular listener and a longtime buddy of mine. We call him friend of the show, Josh. That's because he's a friend of the show and his name is Josh. I mean, we put it right all on Front Street there. But I sent him a message. I said, hey, keep me on track, man. I said, you know, ask me, you know, how the writing's going every couple of days, just so I, you know, even if I spend 10 or 20 minutes, you know, in the evening, you know, just in front of the laptop, putting something down, you know, then I'll know that this progress is being made. And friend of the show, Josh, has not asked me about it in a week now. So
he just knows you.
Well, just keep this in mind. Take this into your dream state. You know, as long as you're moving forward, like I said, this is my second book, but this is the first one I've written. There might be five people that like the book and everyone else hates it. That is not up to me. That is up to the you know, the reader, the viewer. The main thing is that I am moving forward and I will learn from this process because I've never written anything before, you know, where, you know, to get published other than some like poetry. So like this is a new concept for me. You know, hopefully I'll learn from it. I'm not even sure if the format's correct for how you write a graphic novel, but, you just, as long as you're out there doing it and, you know, getting some feedback, that's always going to be helpful. There's no such thing as negative feedback. It's all going to be positive. There's always a way to grow from it.
Again, that's why, you know, that's part of, you know, the feedback that we got from Jason White, debut on the Nerd United. We have, motivational, inspirational, positive, and uplifting. Four pillars of Jason
White.
That's true. And we're going to keep bringing you back, buddy, and keep getting words of wisdom, words of advice, and words of positivity. And someday we'll introduce you.
Thank you. I
hesitate. I would love for Chad Smart to have you on his show called Positive Cynicism, but I'm afraid that once he got his teeth into you, we'd never see you back because he just, you know, soak up all that positivity. But thank you, Jason, for joining us, man. And we look forward to chatting with you again and more success for all of your ongoing projects. Mike, we're going to have another episode later this week.
Yes.
Where we are recasting Star Wars.
Yes.
Star Wars never happened in 1977. It's coming out for the first time in 2021. We're casting it with the stars of today.
Yes.
And
Friday.
Oh, wow.
Friday before I come here, I'm going to frantically look on the internet and figure out what I'm going to say.
I was going to ask you, did you find the any original
descriptions yet? No.
Okay, me either. Yeah. I looked too. So we're just going to probably have to go based off of what we know.
Yes.
Okay. So that's going to be a fun one Friday night, and we're probably going to need a few more beers for that one.
Absolutely.
So that's this episode of Nerds United. Thanks again to Jason White. And Jason, where can they find you on social media so that they can get that daily dose of positivity?
Oh, I'm on Instagram. It's at Lost Owl Kingdom, and at Ninth Branch are a few of my art pages. But I, you know, I post regularly. I even put up a few tutorials here and there. And then at Jason White AWA is my personal Instagram, and there's some artwork up in there. Just, you know, personal stuff I do, and also some more tutorials. I have three because each one of them is a different style that I use and one that's combined. So that's where you can find me.
There you go. And Mike, I tell you where they can find you on Twitter, but
you can find me at Mike R. Luther, I believe.
They'll never remember that.
They won't, because I barely remember it.
It's the R that throws people
off.
And they want to misspell Luther.
Yeah, it's Luther. And then I'm on Instagram too.
Oh, really?
Yes, but I know you're not. Well, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm, it's NMLDAD.
Yeah, how did you not know? I follow you on Instagram.
Oh, I probably follow you too then. You don't post much.
I don't. Yeah, okay. I really don't. Exactly. I'm not in the selfie generation.
You don't have to take selfies?
I'm in the pictures of my kid, my dog, and food generation. And I don't cook that much anymore. Well,
pictures of your food.
I just said I don't cook that much anymore.
You still cook that much. Just take pictures of whatever. You have food in the kitchen.
You have to eat.
Yeah, exactly. You got to eat. Come on.
Yeah, but everybody's seen a pizza slice from Pizza Hut.
Not one that Greg's half eaten before. You know?
There you go. The next time I'm not going back to that pizza, let me tell you. All right, so that's this episode of Nerds United, and Mike and I will be back later in the week for more fun. Thanks again to Jason White, and he's given you all of his Instagram accounts, so follow them and learn a little bit more. Mike's given you his Instagram and Twitter, and my Twitter is at Nerds United Show. We'll just keep it simple.
All right.
And Mike, we'll see you on Friday.
Yes.
All right.
I said, thank you. I appreciate everyone that's listening out there, and good working with you, Mike.
Hey, you too, man.
All right, Mike, be kind.
And rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.